Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. I had no idea that I was the speaker this morning. And so I'm glad that God has got a heart that's already been being prepared by Him. And I'm glad that I don't just think about the things of God just every now and then. And I was telling Brother Rick, I started to sleep last night. I go to sleep praying. And I went to sleep praying last night, and he was the last one I prayed for. He was the first one, too, I think. I was tired, amen? Let me say for you that are aware of that y'all support our ministry, the printing ministry, I'll assure you, you have got a ministry that is getting a job done for God that's unreal. And I'm not saying that braggingly, because braggingly does not do anything at all. Truth is what counts. And I went in yesterday to get tracts and all to bring up here, and the warehouse is so chock full of paper and the things that we'd need to print. I don't know that we'd need anything for the next 2 years. We don't even have no sad stories to tell at all. And the only way that I'm raising support up now is to demonstrate to churches, this is where we are now. If you don't help us, this is where we'll be at. But if you'll help us, watch my hands, we'll broaden the ministry. That you'll have, this much will be your ministry. And so somewhere in between here and there is your ministry. And just call it your ministry. I don't know how many of you know Brother Lacey Wheeler in Mexico. Brother Lacey Wheeler is a drop point down below Mexico City. And you talking about loving the printed page, that man loves it as well as anybody I've ever met. And we send tractor trailer loads down to him, and he sends it out across Mexico, right on into Bolivia, everywhere it is. In other words, we get calls from China. And we don't know how it got to China, but I think Lacey Wheeler had a part to do in it. And he gave the preacher an acknowledgement. He said, man, I'd sure like to have a printing ministry myself. And the preacher told him, said, all you got to do is start supporting our work, and you can have your own printing ministry. And so he sends a check now for $25 a month. And the other day he was at Brother Blackwell's church, and he had the Sunday school hour, and I was preaching, and he got up and told him, he said, I got a printing ministry down in Harlem, Georgia that we just started up. And he said, it's doing real good. And he said, I got an old man that goes about delivering the material. He said, that didn't offend you? Not at all. I got a kick out of it. I like to let them know that the old man still got a kick that can go all the way down to Eagle Pass, Texas and back, and not grumble or gripe, because God allowed me to be a part of what he's doing. And it's wonderful. It is wonderful to go down and meet people that care about souls. You don't know what I know. Brother Rick knows what I know. But you go in churches, it's like I was bragging on your Sunday school teacher this morning. Not many Sunday school teachers do I remember. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. If you ain't got nothing to say, I can't remember it long. But I remember your Sunday school teacher, and you ought to earnestly pray that God will keep him geared up to help us all to merit the things that God wants out of our lives. And I thank God for it. We've got one at our church. And let me tell the story on this one. I asked him, would he teach the Sunday school? That's when I was pastoring. And I asked him to teach the Sunday school class. And the first Sunday morning when he got up there, I thought to myself, you're brain dead. The biggest mess I ever heard in my life. And I said, well, I'll try one more. And he didn't have enough material to go more than about 20 minutes. And this went on for 5 Sundays. But 5 Sundays, grace give out. And I went to him. I said, Brother Michael, you're not studying. You're not praying. You ain't got God on you. And we're not going to sit and listen to you. So I'm just telling you, I'm taking the class away from you. And unlike most men, when you rebuke that hard, I'm not too good at rebuking mildly. When you ain't doing at all, I'm not good at, there's no use in doing it mildly when you need a whole lot. And so I just went ahead and done a whole lot. Well, he waited about 6-7 weeks, and he come back almost tears in his eyes. He said, give me another chance. And he's been everything and more that we've wanted. He studies, he's prepared, he's got something to say, and that's what counts. And I'm glad that you've got a Sunday school teacher can help you in the way of the Lord. This morning I'm trying to visualize exactly what I need to speak to you about, but I think I'm right when I say that I believe if we'll go to Isaiah chapter 6, that I probably can help you as much as anything that I could give you, because many of us today especially will say, in fact, your preacher said it to me this morning as we went out into the parking lot. He said, it is a wonderful day, isn't it? And I said, sure is. It's a beautiful day. I expected to be cold this morning. I done got up here and got, I was already getting cold just thinking about being this far north. You know, I'm almost a Yankee in North Carolina. Amen. I'm a Georgia boy. But, let me share one of, the ministry is going extremely well, and I want to give you this because souls are being saved continually. And when, by the way, I really believe when somebody sits down, takes the time to write you a letter and tell you they got saved, I believe they got saved. I believe they got in. I know that everybody that makes a profession don't get in, but they do if their hearts are drawn to God and they've yielded themselves. But anyway, we got one from California, and we print the book by John R. Rice, Religious But Lost. And she said she read that book, Religious But Lost. She said, I started off religious, but when I got through, I wasn't religious no more. He said, I was saved by the grace of God. And many of you know my grandson, Preston Young, and he's got a missionary out in Arizona, and we just have sent tracts and all and booklets that were to help him start the church out there. And six of those that have been given out have written and told us they got saved. And that's just current events that has taken place. I could give you an account. Well, I could spend the entirety of the hour telling about the blessings, the miracles. Gideon said, where be all the miracles? And if you've studied out that, you know that he was talking about they were in bondage. They didn't have nothing to see from God. Wasn't seeing anything. God cut it off. And I'd like to see them again is what he's saying. We can't pray that prayer because we see God moving all the time. And you will do it as far as God's word is concerned. It's unreal how he blesses his word and looks after those that are children of God that have embraced their hearts to try to get it out as often as he. And I don't know how many of you read the letter. It was been about a year ago that I wrote a letter about the target on my back. Does any of you remember that letter, or did anybody read it? Don't look like they did. But anyway, I started off out of Thompson, Georgia, and when I pulled out on the interstate, I had 7 tons of literature on the truck. And the devil told me when I pulled out on the interstate, you won't be coming back this way. And I can tell you the story. It's too lengthy for me to do so this morning. But it was at every angle, son, I was nigh unto death. The devil done all that he could. In fact, I'll give you one. I was running down the interstate and I reached over to put a preaching tape into the thing and took my eyes off the road. When I looked up, there was a traffic jam right above me. And I was running 70 miles an hour. 70 miles an hour with a one-ton truck with 6 tons behind it. Don't stop on a dime. It don't stop, period, if you don't get it a good long way. And I knew I'd need to slam on brakes. If I slammed on brakes, I wasn't going to be able to turn it. And so I just turned it to the right, took the shoulder of the road. Them truckers knew what had happened. They were smiling at me when I went by them on the right-hand side. But God allowed me to keep it. I never lost it, never swerved. And I got to laugh at the devil over and over. And it's hard for me to stop this because it was so good until I called, and I'm leaving out a ton of it because it was totally every step of the way the devil fought me. But, I called, brother, my mind just went, in Jennings, Louisiana. I called the preacher there and I said, I need a prophet's chamber. He said, well, I'll have it unlocked for you. You know, I go to bed at 8 o'clock. I said, well, I won't get there at about 12, 1 o'clock. Get it for me. And so when I got there at 1 o'clock, it was locked up tighter than a jailhouse. I was so tired, my eyes didn't even want to shut. I wanted to go to sleep wide open. And I decided, well, I would just sleep here in the truck. I tried that, and that wouldn't work, so I went out to the motel downtown, and when I walked in the door, the lady said, I'm sorry, sir, we have no vacancy. I walked over, and I said, ma'am, you don't understand. I said, you don't have a closet or nothing that I could use. I said, I'm tired. I said, I'm weary. I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been doing his work, and the devil's told me I ain't going to get back home, and I just need some rest because I need to get home. And she looked at me and she said, and I need you. And I didn't know why the prophet's chamber was locked up. Right. Yes, I preached to her. All of a sudden, I got renewed strength. Yes, huh? Yes. I didn't even get sleepy at all. Preached to her about 45 minutes. Yes, and she said she got right with God. Yes. And you know, she found me a room, amen, got me a room and that kind of stuff. And when I got in my truck, I was in Mississippi. When I got Gulfport, Mississippi, I got in my truck. And I done delivered everything, done seen everything. And I said, oh, devil, it don't matter now whether I get home or not. I got all my work done. I said, just get on in the truck and let's see how things go today. He wouldn't get in at all. He didn't want to ride. Amen. So I got to ride home by myself. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. The devil don't like what you're doing, and he can't do nothing about it. He can't do nothing about it. And I thank God. He's tried to stop me so many times on that run. He does not like me carrying the tracts and booklets to the border. I carry them, by the way, to Eagle Pass, Texas, which is about 22 hours from the house. And by the time I get home, I've put in about 48 hours of driving. And everybody's always been real concerned about me when I go. In fact, this last time they even sent me a driver, and I had to put up with a driver all the way there and back. But I'm usually more refreshed and all when I get home. It's like I've been off on vacation. And it's because of doing what, and if you love what you're doing, there's not work in it. And I love what I'm doing. I'm old enough that I could stop. But I'm just trying to refire and get where I'm really getting into it. Amen? But it is wonderful to see what God is doing with you. And it would be an honor to have you as, I know it'll be a lengthy trip, but come down and see what we're doing. In fact, if you don't watch out, though, I'll have to tell you now, if you do come, somebody might try to put some ink in your veins. And if we get the ink in your veins, we keep you. But you'll see about 40 to 50 people that work every All every Saturday but one out of each month. And some of them been doing it 20 and more years. Faithful. In fact, back when God was building, I'm killing my time, but when God was building the work, I saw people leave the church. And I'd weep and cry because I didn't want to see them leave. But he had to move them out of the way. If you'll go to John 15, you'll say he takes them away. When they don't bear fruit, they didn't bear fruit. You're going to either bear fruit or God's going to take you out. Fruit bearing is not optional. Fruit bearing is a reality that all of us must engage ourselves in or God will take us out. But in any way, he was taking us out and making a molding of congregation that would do printing work. Everybody can't do printing work. I'm not trying to sit and tell you that we got a championship team, but we do. We do. Because they are fixed by God to do what they're doing, and we get it done. We don't know how to do it, but we get it done and do a pretty good job of doing it. And I thank God we've never had to shut down the press because of the lack of the funds, and we've never had to say no to anybody. In fact, we used to print for the Rock of Ages. We've printed probably 20 million for the Rock of Ages over the years. We hadn't done so in a long time now. But Dr. Garris liked them free tracts. And we print everything free. And so, but we thank God for the outreach that God has given us. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 6, a real familiar portion of Scripture and a portion of Scripture. I like to take a ladder and crawl over into the Scriptures myself. When I'm studying, I like to feel like I'm there. And I see this portion of Scripture, and this is in Young Ology tone, is being so that it was a wonderful day for Isaiah. I mean, this is one of the major days of his life. And it's wonderful to be able to look back. In fact, this mission conference, if you have your heart stretched out to God and he makes some changes into your life, that'll be so that the conclusion of the week, you'll say, this has been a wonderful week and that my life has been changed. By the way, it's still changing time. Until the shout comes, all of us need changing because there's not a one of us in here. I may shock some of you. There's no perfect one in here. Amen. If I got what I deserve this morning, I'd still have my back broken in hell. But thank God for mercy and grace. Amen. And I don't say the grace in the sense of that I'm saying I'm not what I ought to be, which is of truth, surely. But grace don't teach us commit sin in that time, but it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And that's what grace is all about. It's teaching you to get better. Not for it to love you when you've done wrong. It was mercy that brought you to the place of where you needed to get it straightened out in your life. And grace takes over to show you how to, that the love of God will constrain you to walk right, talk right, and spit white. Amen? Yes. And I thank God for that. I'm glad that I've got a caretaker. I tell you what, when I die, I really believe that my angels will say, I'm sure glad he's gone. I sure hope I've overworked him to the point that I live wide open. Amen. But this is a thought this morning, if you'll stop and realize that Isaiah probably, I don't know how often you've studied this portion of Scripture, but Isaiah probably is better than any man that's in this classroom today at the time of this writing. I could not believe that I would be worthy of lacing his shoes, but he wanted more. And that's what I'm trying to reflect to you this morning. You need more. You ain't got as much as you think you have. And the devil would like you to believe that you've already arrived, but you need more. And Isaiah wanted more of God. And I thank God that that is a consistent stirring within my soul. In fact, I was pretty bold yesterday in my praying, and I asked God, I just said, Lord, I want to be like you. I really do. I want to be like you no matter what it takes. And that's you praying on dangerous ground, because it might take a lot for the way I live for him to get me in line with what he wants. But I want to be more like him every day of my life. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 6. And I'll read just four verses rather than reading as much scripture as I've got. What time do we get out? Quarter till?
Yeah. I need to cut loose about 5 till.
5 till, okay. You're a man after my own heart. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With the twain he covered his face, and with the twain he covered his feet, and with the twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke. Father, I pray, God, you'll help us this morning to visualize this great event and to recognize that, Lord, you want as much for us as you was willing to give to Isaiah. And Lord, I pray our hearts will hunger, as did Isaiah's, to be what you would have us to be and to gain ground on the day that we live in. Because certainly, Lord, it is a dark hour. And our mindset is so that we wonder sometimes just how we're going to make it through it. But I'm glad, Lord, we know that you can go through any circumstance and give us strength beyond measure. Have your willing way this morning. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I'd remind you that I have in my own mind that he is going to experience a wonderful day. I'm not sure that at the outset that he understood exactly what was in the making for him, but he knew that he wanted something of God that would manifest itself, that he would be thrilled over the steps that God would have him to take after the conclusion of this hour. The first thing that I see about Isaiah, if you and I today are to see similarity of what Isaiah saw, you got to see what he saw. You got to see what he saw. Are you looking for something? Do you realize that this morning that the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, one of the primary thoughts is, he that hath an ear, let him hear. We need to be so that we can hear, so we'll be able to see the greatness of God. This is what he saw. When you begin to try to picture what he saw, the Lord high and lifted up. We today talk as if God is a little bitty God, but he's the Almighty.
Amen.
He's the Almighty. In fact, I was working on a sermon just yesterday, and the sermon is Only God Can. Only God can perform creation. Amen. And only God can give a man the help that he needs to travel on. It takes as much effort on God's part to get you lined up to go on farther as it did to speak the worlds into existence. It's no big deal for him. It's only needing of a heart that's willing to see him in his greatness. If you don't see him in his greatness, you're not going to leave any better shape than you were when you began. We need to see Him as the Almighty, that He can do beyond any measure. He can change that attitude that we've got. He can change that willingness to give that we've got. And on I could go. He's great enough to intervene in our lives and manifest Himself to so that we leap with joy. This is the whole. I know that I was programmed over and over and over that it's by faith. And it is. You can't feel. In other words, back when I was coming along, the Pentecostal crowd was using the feel good stuff all the time. And so we counteracted that. But we didn't need to counteract it out of existence. Because if you don't feel like a champion when you're walking with God, something is highly wrong. I can remember when I was walking by my brother. He was 6 years older than I was, and I thought he at least was 10 foot tall. I mean, you could not have got me to believe anything less than that. Well, that was a human being. And then when I'm walking by God, and I'm in His presence, it ought to make my heart leap. I mean, hey, if it don't touch your heart, what I'm trying to get at you. If it's not going to touch your heart this week, you ain't going to get nothing. I mean, before the week's over, you're going to be running on dry land. You're going to be running without any oil at all. And it's going to be scraping the bottom. You'll be trying to hang on just to finish out the week. But if you'll just get hold of God and His greatness of how that He's got something special, well, I'm too old for that. Are you? How in the world can you be too old for it? Moses is just getting started at your age. Hello. Some of the greatest works that ever, I mean, John the Beloved, done been beaten and had to death, put in oil and everything else. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now when he said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he wasn't talking about, he was just, there. He was talking about, I'm excited about, it's the day of resurrection. Amen. And you and I need to recognize that there needs to be a moving in our heart. And we've got to see Him as the great Creator. The one that can and does do beyond measure. When I stop to look at what He's done, and I've never been here much, but when I stop to realize, when I get out on the property here and to realize that God wanted it here and God made it so that He gave you a wonderful place to worship and a place that on the outside tells us that it's going all over the world. That you're evangelizing. That's the greatness of God. And so He started where? I don't know. I don't know where the chartered members are. But you were a part of bringing it along and seeing that God was big enough and great enough to make this church what it is today. But let's make it even greater. Let's make it so that our grandchildren will have a place to worship. With the same attitude that when they come, I remember, and this is going to speak maybe a little low of my own church, and I don't want to do that because I think it's the greatest church anywhere. But the first time I ever went into Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, I had chill bumps running all over me. I don't know whether that was because I was thinking about the place and the pastor or what. But I always equated it as being that God was already there. And that I had come to worship God. And oh, that this morning we might see Him high and lifted up. He's on the throne. Oh yeah, there's a lot of things going on that we do not like. I can't hardly tolerate it when I see how the sodomites are getting so boisterous about their sin. But hey, he still got that. He knew it was all. He told us it was going out. He told us that we was preaching this 50 years ago. I mean, if the God that I serve knew it all was going to happen years and years before the foundation of the world. And beloved, that's how great he is. And this morning we need to again reestablish the greatness of God in our souls, in our hearts. We've gotten where we just don't believe people will get saved. We talk about, well, it used to be, and it did. It was a whole lot more fertile ground than it is today. But it's still, I mean, God's still on the throne. He's still wanting you to witness and tell us. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I'll give you an illustration. I mean, I'd gotten down, I was in Houston, Texas, and we was going so fast that I had not been involved with nobody. We was unloading, loading, and that kind of stuff, and had not gotten involved with. I try to witness all the time. I try to see somebody to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I had not had an opportunity. And I asked the God that morning in the motel. I said, "I'd like to witness to somebody down in the where we having breakfast." I said, "Let me. I got time. I can spend an hour or more if I need to. Just let me have somebody." See, I've got where I'm asking God to send somebody to me. A little spoiled brat, I guess. But it's working. It's working. He does it all the time. And so I got down there, and bless your heart, there wasn't nobody down there to witness to. Even the girl that puts the stuff out wasn't there. I said, "Well, good night. I don't know what I'm going to do." And I went back up and started down the hall. And a black lady come along. I never seen her before in my life. She said, "You following me, aren't you?" And then she said it in a sense that it was not that I had been dogging her or nothing like that. And it startled me. And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not following you." I said, "But I want to tell you something. I left Georgia looking for you." Yeah. She said, "You was looking for me, yeah?" Sure was. My older brother told me that he needed me to tell you a message from him. She said, "What's that message?" "That he loves you." By the way, that'll stop the, I mean, you ain't gonna have no fight.
Right.
And guess what? 15 minutes later, I was still telling her about Jesus. Amen? Hey, that's God. I did not come away bragging about the glory that I got. It was His glory. He had that woman fixed up for me. And if you'll get where you long for souls to be saved and to recognize He's great enough to get the job done. No, He didn't. The results that I saw was not the results that my flesh would have liked to see. But God adds to the church. God is the one that gives the results. The results is not in my hand. Just to have a hunger to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that I'm guilty of.
Yes.
I've had this. This is not the first time. This is not the first rodeo. I was coming down the hall in the University Hospital in Augusta, Georgia. And I said to myself, I have never witnessed to an intern before. Lord, I'd like to do so today. And I walked down there, and guess what? There was an intern. And I started trying to talk to him, and that man could talk faster than I could. I didn't think there was no human being alive like that. I couldn't find a place end-wise, edge-wise, or nothing. And I finally said, "Hey, if I'm going to witness somebody, I better go find somebody beside an intern." So I started out the door. I told him, bid him farewell. Started out the door, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, "No, you're not." And I said, "What am I to do?" He said, "Go back and tell them about Jesus." I said, "Lord, I didn't try to do that." He said, "Try a different manner." And I walked back over there, and my hand stuck out, and before he got a chance to say anything, I said, "Sir, I want to apologize to you. By the way, that's another avenue. When you apologize, you got the heart. I said, I was supposed to tell you about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he died on Calvary's cross that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Huh? I am witness to an intern that day by the grace of God, by the power of God Almighty. And that's what it's all about. If you're going to get the greatness of God, it's for a reason. And that reason is to tell of the story of salvation. And you and I need to have it so that we have that relationship with God to where evangelism is a norm. It's a way of life. I've got it ready and raring to go. But if you don't see the greatness of God, I mean, if you don't believe he can raise a man from the dead, how in the world are you going to get anybody saved? Because he's got to pass from death unto life. He's got to have a new life. When you live, we don't need the 1, 2, 3, pray quick. You need somebody that's got a heart that's been moved on by God, and he's been drawn by the Spirit of God to whereby he can know that he has eternal life. No, you don't have to have to twist his arm to convince him. When I used to do it that way, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Nobody told me any difference, and I thought that was the way you were supposed to get it done. But then after you got him done that way, you had to convince him he was saved. If you get him saved, you won't have to convince him he's saved. He'll know he's saved all over. Amen. So the greatness of God, because this is where it's all leading to. Isaiah's going to say, "Hear my Lord, send me." This is what this is all about. Isaiah's wanting to do a work for God, and he knows he's got to have the presence of God and the power of God. So he here is acknowledging that he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Not only you got to see the Lord like he did, but you also have got to feel the Lord of how he felt. You got to have a feeling. Oh, I'm getting terrible now, aren't I? Yeah, I really do. I really believe you got to have a feeling. I believe you got the joy of the Lord is our strength. How in the world are you going to feel anything but good when the joy of the Lord is present in your life? So you got to feel what he has. Now, what he feels is not what you really would say is getting happy, but it is. Because when you get broken, that's what's going to happen. He's speaking to get broken. The greatest thing that could happen to any one of you this week is to get broken. To whereby you feel your need for a better life, a richer life, a sweeter life, a holy life. A holy life, a holy life. That's the word that independent Baptists have gotten where they don't like that much. But without holiness, a man shall not see God. If you don't live a holy life, you're not going to see God. You're not going to present God. Because you can't see him but one way, because he is holy. Amen. God is holy. And without you having a touch of holiness on your life and a willingness to allow God to make you even more holy, you're not going to get anything done. Look, if you will, with me in verse number 5. The Bible said, Then said I, woe is me. That when you look at God, that's the way you're going to see yourself. Woe is me. He's getting broken. He's getting in a place where God can help him. And that is a needful thing of the hour, I believe, in our churches. The one thing, that, I mean, our church this morning, I'd almost guarantee you, there'll be 20 people at the altar this morning. And I'm going to be hurtful in what I say. The largest percentage of them are not going to experience any real difference. I'm glad they love to go to the altar, but man alive, Get something while you're there. Don't just go down there and say your daily prayers. Have it so, woe is me, Lord. I mean, while the preacher's preaching, see the Lord high and lifted up. And allow Him to so touch you till you realize that when I measure up beside Him, if I'm asked to be like the Lord, then I got to measure up beside Him. What is it that I like that He is? And that, hey, that'll break you. If nothing will, that will. He says, woe is me. And he's seeing himself as the Lord would see him. His need was greater than you and I would have thought. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. He makes it sound like, and by the way, when you really got sin in your life, it feels like you're just, I mean, wicked as can be. It looks like you've been dipped in it. And that's the way he is feeling at this point. And that's where brokenness comes in, when I realize that I need a definite change. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. See, that's what I told you. He saw the King. And when he saw the King, then he saw himself. And he was able to see himself, and he felt the pangs of not being everything he should be. And beloved, most of us this morning could fit in well with that thought. I mean, most of us, if we took a real good close look at the Lord this morning and the greatness, I mean, to stop and to think that He is so great, He made man. Oftentimes I'm asked, you doing good? I said, I'm wonderfully made. I don't know that I'm feeling good, but I'm wonderfully made. Amen. Because I got God's word on that. Amen. I'm not, I've often hear somebody say I'm pretty good. When a man says that, I know he's lying. I ain't ever seen no pretty man. You might be good, but not pretty. But this morning, can you realize that I need a closer walk? The song service this morning might have the song, I Need Thee Every Hour. Does that measure into your thinking today? I just want us to hunger after knowing that having a heart that panteth after God in that likeness is not going to do anything but make your day a wonderful day. To be able to say that, Lord, when I look at you and the King that I serve, I see there's a measure about my life that I'm not happy with. I'm not satisfied with, and I'm sure you're not. Please help me, because that's where he's going. There's no use in getting broken unless you do something about it. It'd be foolish to go to the altar and have a brokenness and turn around and bring it back, wouldn't it? I'm glad it's not that way, because the tender mercy of God is going to do all that's needed to draw you unto himself. The love of God constrains you, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians. And beloved, he saw and he felt, and not only do you need to be able to feel what he felt, but you need to hear what he heard. Verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of God. Amen. Not any voice. The voice of God. I had a Mormon come to my door just recently. And he told me, he said, I heard the voice of God. I said, yes, sir, I'm sure you did. But you spell it with a little G. You saw the God of this world spoke to you. The voice of God didn't speak, because you ain't even got a right Bible. So I got a King James. Yeah, but you got another one too. You don't need but one. Throw that other one away and then I might talk to you. Hello. Hello. But hey, he heard the voice of God. I wish I had time to develop this one. But the Old Testament priest had to hear from God. And they would put the blood on his ear where he could hear. John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, told us 7 times, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The greatest need this morning is for us to see, feel, and hear. Hear, because God's fixing to talk to you when you're that broken. He's coming there to lift you up, to set your feet upon a rock, to establish you going, to put a skip in your step and a song in your heart. And beloved, he's going to be there. Well, I think of the man born blind. They done throwed him slap out of the temple. Guess who came by his way? Jesus was right there. And this morning, if you and I will get to that point where we want something from God enough so, he'll be there to help. Not only did he hear what he heard, but also say what he said. Verse number 8, again, the closing part of that, the Bible says, whom shall I send? This is what he heard. God's making a call. And who will go for us? He's opened the door for Isaiah. And the Bible says, then said I, here am I, send me. Sounds good if a missionary is saying it, ain't it? But you're a missionary. You're a missionary. You're a missionary here in your Jerusalem. Yes, sir. And you need to be so that the leaving out of the church, every week, every time you enter the house of God, certainly ought to be, I'm leaving out to do the work of the Lord. I want to be able to manifest what I have in my heart so a lost and a dying world might be able to know. You might go out and win somebody to the Lord that'll carry it to Africa or Bolivia or whatever. Huh? Just be a fruit bearer. Father, thank you now for the opportunity we've had this morning. And I do pray, God, that we've been able to show forth those things, Lord, that can help us to be entreated to do a greater job for you, is our plea now in Jesus' name. Amen.